Well, good morning. Welcome to Five Corners Church. My name is David. I'm the pastor here. And this fall, we've been going through a series, and this is the conclusion in that series. How fun is that? We've been talking about foundations, the things that are our core beliefs in our faith as Christians and in our practices here at Five Corners Church. Now, not every church has the same practices. I pray that we all have the same beliefs because we're all chasing the same God. We're trying to walk step in step with the Holy Spirit. And so with that today, we're going to talk about one of the spiritual disciplines that we have as believers. So this fall, we've talked about things like sanctification, things like salvation, baptism. We got to experience baptizing people, the Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to talk about our treasures, about our finances. So who loves this topic? Who loves going out there and sharing your finances? I'm not just talking about the guys who want to brag, like, look at my new car, right? You're having a midlife crisis and you show up with a new motorcycle, you are bragging about your treasures, and I want to bless you with those treasures because I'd love to one day have a cool motorcycle too. It would be a lot of fun to share. So today, as I share the word with you, I want to give a little bit of my heart as well. This is a practice that I learned when I was a young man. Mom and dad tried to beat it into me. You know how mom and dad are. Make sure you do your spiritual disciplines. But when I was first in ministry, I had a chance to experience this practice, to live it out in a way that changed and shaped who I was and who I thought God was. So I'm going to share my heart with you, and I pray, I believe that you will be encouraged through this. So the title of my message is Why I Tithe. Why I Tithe. These are personal convictions that are backed up with scripture and many experiences. And I pray that this practice that I'm going to share with you is one that you will also practice so that you in turn can experience the greatness of God's blessings. I want you to hear some specific examples, and I'm not going to go into a lot of these details, but if you want to chat with me after the service, I would love to share with you just some of the experiences that God has done, the miracles that he has provided in my life. Now, Danny said it earlier when he came up here to do offerings, but we don't pay to come to church. Like, church doesn't have a cover charge. You don't line up outside and there's a guy with his arms folded saying, when you come in here and that little burgundy bag gets passed around, you better, like, the kids pass it around, they might joke with you a little bit, but we don't pay to come to church. If you came in here thinking that with the guilt on your shoulders that says, I came here and I have to put something in there because that's the practice, I want you to throw that away. This is not a requirement to be part of the church body. This is a spiritual discipline so that God can move in your life because you are obeying him. So, does everybody understand that? We don't pay to come to church. We give to God because he asks us to. So with that, Danny said today that it was an opportunity to worship God, not only with our singing, but also with our pocketbooks. So I want to tell you a little bit about the word tithe. Tithe is a Hebrew word. It actually means 10%. So it's not connected to the church specifically. It means 10% in Hebrew. And specifically in the Old Testament, they were talking about the first 10% of our income, the increase that God gives us, and that we, or the Old Testament Israelites, were to bring it back to the house of the Lord. And maybe you're here today and you know, you've known about tithing and you've practiced this spiritual discipline, tithing, for most of your life. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're like, wow, it's the first time I've actually heard about it. So I want to encourage you by telling you why I tithe. Why is it a practice that I practice? Number one is this. I tithe because everything I have belongs to God. How sweet is that? Here's what King David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you want to turn there, go for it. If not, I'll just read it quickly. The Israelites are preparing to build the temple. The people of God have brought their gifts and offerings, and they're getting ready to build the temple that God the house that God is going to live in. And here's King David's response when all the people brought the things to build the temple. 1 Chronicles 29. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything that we have comes from you, and we give only to you what you gave to us first. Here's a psalm written, Psalm 24, verse 1. It says this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from where? From above, yeah. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. See, a phrase I constantly tell myself, especially when I look at the bank account and it's getting close to that zero, every time I get something that's a blessing, like someone mailed me a check, like, Grandma, you're awesome, this is what I tell myself this. I constantly say it. I am an owner of nothing and a steward of everything in my life right now. Everything is owned by God and is given to me temporarily to steward well for him. Everything that I have belongs to God. And parents, maybe you understand this because your kids, I've got four girls, they wake up fighting, they're just screaming at each other, and you're like, everything I have belongs to God. Right? I own nothing. I'm a steward of everything. Well, it applies to our finances too. God entrusts us with the stewardship of his things. Like, how humbling is that? God entrusts us. How incredible a concept that the God of the universe, the one who owns everything, the one who created everything out of nothing, so he owns it. He can give it, he can take it away, and he gives it to us to take care of. For his glory. See, I tithe because everything that I have belongs to him. Let me give you an example. Who here has a really nice car? Yeah, who has a nice car? Anybody got a nice car? Yeah, you've got a big car. Anybody got a nice truck? Come on, guys. Someone with a truck. Buck's got a nice truck. So, can I borrow your car keys for a minute? Thanks. Oh, his is so fancy, it doesn't even have the keyhole to stick it in. You just got to push the button on it, right? BMW right there. So Lisa and I, we've been working hard this fall. It's been a busy fall, lots of things going on, especially the last 2 weeks. So I've got this great plan that we should go away on a trip. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Just the two of us will go away from a weekend. And, you know, we've got a nice minivan. God's blessed us. I'm happy with it. But if you ever had to get in the backseat of the minivan, you'll probably get stickers and suckers stuck to your pants, right? Like, just life with little kids. We all, I'm glad I have leather. But it would be nice to take my wife on a nice trip. So, Buck, thanks for letting me borrow your truck for a nice trip. Now, we won't go far. I'm thinking like Revelstoke, a nice weekend away in a little cabin. And so let's say I took this car for the weekend trip, and it was a great trip, and we enjoyed it, and we had a relaxing weekend, building my marriage. Thanks for the blessing, Buck. And our marriage is stronger because of it. So on Monday, we get back after our weekend away, and let's say I phone Buck, and I'm like, hey, Buck, do you want to get together for coffee? And he's like, yeah. Okay, so we're sitting down for coffee at the coffee shop, and I just want to share my heart with you, Buck. God's impressed something on us while we were away this weekend. Like, God really put it on my heart to be generous. And Buck, I want to give you a new truck. Would you be blessed with this new truck that I'm going to give to you? Like, all of you would be in that conversation, you'd be like, thanks, Pastor David, but it's my truck. Like, you borrowed it from me. You don't have to go through all this rigmarole. How many at the coffee shop are going to say, well, thanks for my truck back? Here's what we do when we deal struggle with our finances. When we bring our tithes back to God, our first 10% of what we earn, we're saying to God, God, here's back what you gave to me. Thanks for letting me borrow your truck. Thanks for letting me build my marriage. Thanks for being the support of all the things that I do. You have been such a good blessing to me. So often it feels like we sing two songs in church, and we're calling down the Holy Spirit, and we're united together, and then we sit down and we take a break. Stop the bus! We're going to pass the offering plate. And it feels a little bit awkward. But that moment of awkwardness is so that the things that we're sharing with our voices and our mouths gets to be an opportunity to share with our pocketbooks, with our treasures, because they're God's finances. And if he's in charge of them, we want to worship him by giving back what he gave to us. Well, the second thing is this. I tithe because it shows my faith in God alone. So we're talking about 10% tithing. But tithing is more than just 10%. I've tithed because it shows my faith in God alone. I'm not just giving 10%, but I'm giving him the first 10%. I put him first. By faith, I'm bringing my tithe to his house before it goes anywhere else. So I thought to illustrate this, I would bring an apple pie. Who likes apple pie? So let's pretend this apple pie is the amount of money we've earned in the last month. Okay, this apple pie is the entirety of your income. It's your paycheck. It's the increase that God has entrusted you with. And when you get your paycheck, when you get your increase, you have to divvy it up. So, Lisa, would you come and do this? I can only do so many things at the same time, and she is such a blessing. Thank you. Let's pretend this pie is our increase. You can go for it. Cut her up, slice her up. So we've got some different slices in our pie every month. There's a big slice of the pie. No, we need a bigger piece. Take like a quarter of it. Yeah. Because you know, when you start with the bills at the beginning of the month, there are some big things that you have to pay for. Like, you have to pay for your mortgage, right? Is that the starting point? You know, mortgage takes a huge chunk of your paycheck, and you need a house to live in. So, here's a wonderful piece of pie. We're just going to bless some people. Thanks for the truck. I'm going to trade you for a piece of pie. So let's say the first big chunk that comes out of our paycheck is our mortgage. And the second, well, especially if you've moved here in the last couple of years, it's a huge amount of your income. Then there's all the other monthly things that come along with that, right? Like you've got your utilities and you've got the insurance. Oh, you probably want a fork to eat that with. Right? Like if you've got things like a telephone or the different things that cost in the house, the hydro bill or the gas bill, all those different things. Well, let's say that after that you've got the kids, right? They're growing like crazy, and it's winter, and you pulled the boots out of the closet, and you're like, Marcus, your feet have grown again, Marcus. And so you got to go out and you got to buy another set of boots. So there you go, Virginia, another thing coming up now. You gotta have some me time in your month, right? Like if all you do is give and give and give, then at some point you're just gonna wear yourself thin. And so some time needs to be spent. Maybe you gotta, you know, upgrade that sled a little bit. Maybe you haven't been out in a couple years and it's time to put some money into some time out on or maybe the ski hill, right? You bought that season's pass and your ski pants are a little worn, so I need a new helmet. Oh, and I gotta sharpen the skis. There's an expense with all of this. And as you go through the month, you divvy out all of the different expenses, right? Like the pastor is saying, you got to build your marriage. You got to put some energy into that. And, well, we should go out on a date night. Go watch a movie. One of the many expenses that we have. Go watch a movie. And you take all of your monthly bills and you divvy them up all into different corners, into different areas. And then the question is, you come to church on Sunday morning, and you're singing your heart out in the first song, and the second song comes, and then you see Kathy walking up the stage with the microphone, and you go,
Oh, no. What do I got in my pocket? A couple of batteries? Oh, I got the car keys. Well, maybe we could scrape together just a few things. Let's take what's left in our bank account. What do we got left? Well, there's a little bit of crust in here. There's a little bit of apple in there. So God, I'm going to give to you what I got left in the bottom of my bank account. After we've divvied it all up, after we've given it away, God, I want to honor you, so it's important for me to give. So let me give to you what's left. And I know none of us do this on purpose. It's not the way it works, right? Especially in today's society where everything automatically comes out of your bank account. We don't go and we say, God, I want to give you the leftovers. But often our practice becomes the leftovers are all we have. If we don't get this order right, then this can become our spiritual discipline of tithing, of scraping everything together. It doesn't take faith to do this. It takes faith to look at the entirety of what God has given you and say, God, the first piece of this pie is for you. Before I know what my surprise expenses will be. Because I've budgeted and I know it's tight and it's winter and the furnace might go. But God, before I even look at those problems, I'm going to give to you first. I'm going to bring back what belongs to you first. I can't see all the expenses that will come, but even before I know what they all are, I will give you the first piece. Because, God, you're more important than everything else. Right? How's this? God, I fear you. Something we don't talk about much as Christians. God, I fear you more than I fear the mortgage company. I fear you more than the repo man who's coming for the truck. So I will give to you first. Lord, by faith, I put you first, and I steward and manage the rest to the best of my ability. Maybe it's great, maybe it's not, but you're first. So some of you are sitting there saying, well, David, if I give God the first piece, then I'd have to change the way that, I that would affect a whole lot of different things in my life. Yeah, it would. You mean if I live by faith and I honor God and his word and it enters every area of my life, it's going to affect it. So it's by faith that I put God first. I tithe because it shows my faith in him. It shows that he is first in my life with a visible, tangible, measurable amount. Well, number three is this. This is why I tithe. I tithe because it connects me with something bigger than me. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, he's writing back to the church in a town called Philippi, and this was a church that he was part of planting. This church helped fund Paul's ministry, and he writes back to them. He says in Philippians 4:14, this is what he writes, "You have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. And as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once." Verse 17. "I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. I tithe because it connects me to something bigger than me." Now, it's important to understand the context of what Paul's writing. In that day, he's writing to a culture that is not transient. Like I know today people move. It's common even for people to move from one province to another. Especially in a summer town like ours, there are people who come for the weather and they realize they can't financially live in this place, so they move on. Like everybody's moving to Alberta now because there's work in Alberta. Paul didn't live in an era where people were transient. Most people in that time, they were born, and they grew up, and they died, never ever going further than 20 miles from that one location. People just didn't travel town to town. He didn't go region to region. So he's writing to the people in Philippi who most of them have never left Philippi. And they're never going to leave Philippi. And this is what Paul says. You gave to that ministry. You sent me. Your impact, your reach, your influence. It went somewhere that you couldn't go. And your word is now bigger because you gave. You're connected to what I'm doing here. As I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking and reflecting on my home church, the church I grew up in. We started attending there when I was a teenager in high school. And it was the church that I was called to ministry in. It was the church that I met my wife in. It was the church that I was discipled in my faith in the beginning. And then as I learned how to disciple others, they were the ones that took me in and showed me the ropes, trained and released. The pastor, his name was Glenn Patrick. And when Pastor Glenn started the church, there were 12 people. And they met in a school gym. And then one day they had enough money that they rented a storefront in a strip mall. And since then, the church has grown and grown. It is now one of the biggest churches in Alberta. And I was thinking where the church is now and the impact that it made on my life. And I was thinking about those 12 people in that gymnasium who 35 years ago showed up and honored God with their tithe to help fund and equip a ministry to keep going. And as I was thinking about how over the last 3.5 decades that small group of people has grown and grown and grown and grown. And today, a few of them there even know me. They don't really know who I am. A lot of those original 12 have gone to be with the Lord since then. But it's incredible that they didn't know then, as they honored God with their tithe, is they weren't just making an impact there. They were making an impact today. Their giving has reached and connected them to something much bigger than they could have ever imagined. And it's amazing to me to think one day in eternity I'll get to meet some of these people and tell them, thank you for giving to Five Corners Pentecostal Church. See, they gave to us here. They didn't know it at the time, and they'll probably never know us all personally. But that's how it works in God's kingdom. It's a ripple that keeps growing from one generation to the next. God's influence expanding everywhere. Every single person that gets saved, every single person that gets baptized, every single marriage that's restored and made healthy and strong, and every single child that puts their faith in Christ, every single person that's called to the mission field or called to full-time ministry, every single person that has chains of addiction broken off their life, every foster kid that finds a home, every single thing that happens here gets to happen because there was a group of people that were saying, I'm going to honor God and put my money into what God's doing here. And I'm going to make my world bigger because of it. You see, when you tithe, when you give your 10% back to God, you connect yourself to something bigger than you. And only heaven will tell. Only eternity will let us know all the ways that the church at Five Corners has impacted the rest of the world. Well, number four, Sam. I tithe because it pulls my heart towards God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 6. You probably have it memorized, even if you don't know where it is. It's this. Store your treasures in. Store your treasures in heaven. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. See, I tithe because I know I want my heart connected to God's kingdom things. I tithe because I know I want my heart to be in love with the building of God's church, the building of his people. I tithe because I know I want my heart to celebrate and rejoice with all of heaven when people come to faith in Christ. I tithe because I love to see people discipled and grow in the knowledge of God. I tithe because I want to see families strong and healthy in our community. So I put my resources into God's system because I want to hear about those things. I want to care. I want to love the same things that God loves. So if I store up my treasures and put them in my own silo, then that's where my heart will be. But if I take all of those treasures from that silo and I give them freely back to God because it belongs to Him, then I give Him my heart. I want to have a heart towards God's kingdom things. Well, number five is this. I tithe because it invites God to bless my finances. Tim? Number five. I tithe because it invites God to bless my finances. When we tithe, we're taking our money out of the world system and we're putting it into God's system. Do you understand that? Like, I just want to give you a picture of God's system. There's 5,000 people sitting on the side of the hill and they've been there all day and it's hot out. And they're going, my stomach's rumbling. And God's system is 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread can feed 5,000. Right? This is God's system, where not enough is always enough and more with 12 baskets left over. I'm taking my finances out of the world system of Black Friday is coming up. You'd better buy your Christmas presents because your family will love you and you will show how much you love them by the amount you spend on them. I'm taking it out of God's system and I'm saying, God, I give to you what is yours because I know your kingdom is more important. And forgive me for my simplicity. I don't want to talk down to you, but if you want God to be involved, you have to involve God. I know it sounds, you know, this is grade 2 math, but if you want God to be involved in your finances, you have to involve God in your finances. See, when you're tithing, what you're doing is you're opening the door in the financial areas of your life for God to be involved. You're saying with your actions, God, I put you first in this area, and I'm desiring for you to be involved in this area, and I'm inviting God to bless and be involved. If you don't honor God and put Him first in this area, then when life gets tough, you can't come to God and be like, God, where are you? Because God would be like, I'm where I've always been. You've never asked me to come and be involved. God, where are you? Why are you not involved in here? Because you haven't involved me. But when I involve God, his hand is there. God is able to bless. And I know when we talk about tithing for some of you, maybe you've done this for so many years that you have these incredible blessings and stories in your past and in your current life. Because God is involved, and this is just like muscle memory to you now. But for others, you're sitting there and you're like, this is a scary idea. Like, this is crazy. I can take care of my own finances, thank you very much. And maybe you're in a season that is unsettling or unstable, and you're asking, well, how in the world am I going to do this? I'm just encouraging you. Involve God. Tithing is God's idea, and He's always faithful to keep His promise. Number six, this is the final one today. I tithe because God has blessed me. That is the real reason. All of these other reasons, they're all great things. They're all great instructions. They're great obedience. But honestly, I tithe because I am blessed. Now you might say, hold on, Pastor. I haven't started tithing yet because I'm waiting for God to bless me. Okay, fair enough. When God blesses me, when I have lots, then that's when I'll start tithing. That's the wrong order. See, I don't tithe to get blessed from God. That's not why I put money in the offering plate. I'm not saying, okay, God, here's my part. You better do your part. That's not my attitude. Although there is blessing in the hand of God when you do, I don't tithe to be blessed from God. I tithe because He has already blessed me. I want that to sink in to all of you because you're all sitting here. He's already blessed me. And in case you think, as I say blessed today, you're thinking like dollars and cents. Let me read Ephesians chapter 1 because tithing, giving obediently to God, doesn't have anything to do with how much money you think you have or you think you don't have or compared to other people. Everyone gets something and everyone has something to give. Ephesians chapter 1 calls this a blessed believer. And in time when we're struggling to stay alive, we need to have eyes to see the things from God's perspective. Paul says this in verse number 3. Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Look, if you put your faith in Christ, I want to remind you that you are blessed. Paul would say you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You have the greatest treasure known to the history of mankind, and that is Christ, the Savior of your soul. You are a child of God, and that means you are blessed. And because he's blessed me, I will joyfully bring to him what is his. I will bring in the tithe. I've been forgiven, right? From as far as the east is from the west, that I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new is here. He's renewing my mind day by day. His spirit lives inside of me. His word guides me. His presence is with me. He comforts me. He gives me peace in the storm. He's blessed me. I'm blessed, and you're blessed too. Because I want to remind you today, if you don't feel blessed, if you were down because of the circumstances in your life, I want to remind you that you are in Christ, and that is where the blessing is. Let me paint you a story picture, because sometimes it's easier to understand. Lisa and I have 4 girls, and for their birthdays, we decided we don't need more stuff. Like the culture of this world, the consumerism, we don't need more stuff. So for their birthdays, they get to choose to go somewhere, and we go as a family on an adventure. And 1 year, one of our kids asked to go to the trampoline park. I don't know if you've ever seen those. They take a big warehouse, and they fill it full of trampolines, and they tie them all together, and it's like this big, huge jumping place. And in the corner of all of these trampoline parks, there's the most amazing corner ever. There's a giant pit that is full of foam blocks. Giant foam blocks. And you jump on the trampoline for all you're worth, and you dive or flip or twist or it doesn't really matter into the foam block pit, and it doesn't hurt. Like, you can go head first or butt first or chest first, and you just jump and flip, and you land in the foam pit in any direction, and it's incredible. And I remember one of our kids, she jumped in and into the foam pit, and she's screaming and yelling, having a good time. It goes under the blocks, and you see this little hand waving at Dad, and you're like, yeah, that was awesome. You did a double flip, and it didn't hurt. It was great. And you see all the blocks moving, and she's waving at Mom, and then you're like, okay, get out of the pit. Some other kid wants to jump in. And she's still waving, and you're like, it's starting to get irritating, like it's been 45 seconds. And her hands are going wild, and you're like, come on, girl. Like, nobody else gets to have fun at the park because you're hogging the best area. And like 2 minutes into it, all the other kids are like, come on, get out, I want to have a turn. And suddenly, like, being the dad, you got to put on some responsibility at the trampoline park. I realized, this kid is stuck. Like, she ain't waving to me to be like, hey, look at me, I'm cool. She's like, all I get to do is taste sweaty foam blocks from the last person. I can't get out because I can't reach the bottom and I can't reach the top, and it's not like water that you can swim in. So I jump in and go to rescue this girl, and I realize this is a picture of the gospel. Like, I wasn't standing on the side and be like, ah, you can do it on your own, just give it some more effort. Right? Like, I didn't go to the edge and get a rope and go, throw the rope in and grab onto the end and let me help you in your effort. No, that's not the gospel message. Jesus didn't give us a way out that we could do on our own. He didn't help us in our efforts. Now Jesus did the double backflip twist thing into the foam pit right beside us and picked us up and carried us out. The gospel says that we're stuck. Scripture uses it this way. We're dead in our sin, separated from God. But God, in his great mercy, comes down and he picks us up. He lifts us out. The psalmist said it in Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, out of the mire. And he set my feet on a rock. And he gave me a firm place to stand. This is what Christ has done for us. This is the good news of the gospel. And let me remind you today, if you believe in him, then you are blessed. I'm not waiting for God to bless me before I bring him my first, because he's already done it. God doesn't need to do another thing for me for the rest of my life. He's already done enough. Lord, I bring to you my tithe, my first, because you bless me. It all belongs to him, and what a privilege it is. We get to return to him what he's given to us. So I tithe. It's a practice I learned, not just mom giving me a quarter and saying, put this in the offering plate, but I learned it when I got my own paycheck and dad sat me down and said, David, where's the first 10% go? And I learned it in my marriage when we said, God, we don't have enough. I'm working a minimum wage job because I'm 20 and that's all I'm experienced at. God, we don't have enough, but I will give to you first, because you said you will always take care of me. I give to God because he gives to me, because I love God, because I worship him alone. And so I want to remind you, I tithe because everything I have belongs to God. I tithe because it shows my faith in him alone. I tithe because it connects me with something bigger than me. I tithe because it pulls my heart towards God's kingdom. And I tithe because it invites God to bless my finances. And most importantly, I tithe because God has blessed me. Today I pray that if this is not a practice that you're already doing, that you will courageously begin to obey God in this discipline as you worship him. I want to remind you, we don't pay to come to church. I'm not looking for your money to come and pay our bills. I'm looking for your heart to be given to the God who owns everything, so that he can bless you more than he has. And if this is something you're already faithful in doing, I pray you will be full of joy as you give and as you see God's hand work again and again through your lives. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your good news. Thank you that you've saved us, that you've called us. You've lifted us out of that pit. You set our feet on solid rock. Remind us of those things, God. Remind us to help us joyfully return back to you what you've already given to us. Lord, I pray for those here today that are already practicing the discipline of tithing, already returning to you and honoring you in this area of their life, that you would continue to be involved in this area of their lives, and they would feel your continued blessing over them as they involve you in every part of everything they do. And I pray today for the person who has not yet taken this step. Jesus, that you would give them the faith, because you give us each our own measure of faith. You would give them the faith to open the door into this area of their life and involve you. And as they do, you would just show up in a powerful way so they would know and sense and see that you're involved. Jesus, thank you for blessing us. May we be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to me. If you didn't notice, this is one of my favorite topics. So again, if you want to hear specific examples, I could tell you about our apple tree. I could tell you about the plumbing in our condo. I could tell you about the incredible blessings of eating cheese in a rich person's house that happened to be mine, because I can tell you over and over and over again the blessings that have come out of this practice. So if you're questioning or you wonder, I've got stories to share. I would love to give you testimony of God's faithfulness. So as we close, we're going to break into groups again. And I want you to chat about this. Some of you have done this for years, and you're like, oh, I've got a story to tell. This is that opportunity to tell that story. And some of you, you haven't been practicing this, and you've never heard of it before, or you've never done it. I want you to hear those stories. And maybe share a little bit with this sounds ridiculous. Like, the more I give away, the more God will give to me so that I can give more away again. Like, that doesn't make a bit of sense. Maybe you need to hear these stories and share that. So I encourage you, let's break into groups of 6 or 8, and let's pray for each other. Let's support each other in this. And here's the topic. If you were to describe to a new believer some of the reasons that you tithe, what would you share? Where would that conversation go? And with that, I'd love to see you on Wednesday as we decorate for Christmas. Be blessed on your week.